action and also the saving of nature, therefore, and keeping the environment.
Yeah, I mean, in the Niger Delta specifically, one of the issues has been that the people who are actually employed on these installations do not come from the Niger Delta. They're brought in elsewhere, from Nigeria or from other countries. And what constituted livelihoods for people in terms of raising crops or catching fish or whatever has been completely eliminated. So the idea that people need work, I mean, there's a line in this book, you have the book, The Curse of the Black Gold. Yeah, there's a wonderful line that actually comes from a Palestinian poet about the problem of starting from secondly, right? The idea of where do we begin telling narratives of violence, and all too often we start with secondly as opposed to the first thing that happened, right? So that the idea that people need work is kind of starting from secondly, and the first thing would be, well, what was the situation before this?
Or
the oil started being extracted
in
space. Yeah.
So, I mean, we often talk about corporations and governments, their responsibility for these disasters, ecological destruction. How much do you feel intellectuals are responsible for this as sort of the keepers of knowledge for these sorts of issues that we're dealing with? And pedagogically, how do you teach, how do you balance analysis and social justice in your own classroom?
Yeah, I haven't thought about intellectuals as a piece of the puzzle. I have thought about it more in terms of students as intellectual / citizens. And I think that helping students to think about the ways in which it's very easy for them to think of themselves as consumers, even though they might not be thinking about the full planetary effects of that consumption, and it becomes very difficult, I think, for them to think about themselves as citizens. So in trying to think about your question about intellectuals, I think that same kind of tension applies in terms of intellectuals themselves as commodities, working in a marketplace, and what kinds of ideas sell and what kinds of ideas don't sell, and how is that related to our responsibility as citizens, and I'll use that not only in the U.S. sense, right, but also in a much broader sense. I could say one more thing about that, and that is the kind of one of the unspoken subtexts of my talk is my sense of myself as a U.S. citizen, a post-colonialist working in the American Academy, and the sense that the locus of post-colonial studies is the American Academy. Here I am as a post-colonialist talking about the rest of the world from this specific institutional location. And so I talk about the kind of lack of connection between post-colonial studies on the one hand, which is largely a US-based discourse, and American environmentalism on the other hand. But the kind of third piece that I didn't talk about was the new American studies and the ways in which American studies is becoming transnational. And I think that that's important to think about, too, in terms of the way that American studies intersects with American environmentalism, because I think the new American studies is doing some of the things that post-colonial studies has been doing for several decades. Having benefited from some, but perhaps not all, of the work of post-colonial studies. Right? So that's a place where I think we can see intellectuals caught between these discourses, which are taking rather different views of what their field is between the U.S. instance and the planetary predicament.
Waldo, who is now currently setting up a reception out on my balcony. So, again, thank you, Professor Jennifer Wenzel.
Thank you.
And please stay around and ask your questions afterwards.
Thank you.